it's going to be a groundswell of good people coming forward, and you might say enforcing their values on those who don't agree with them.
It is with great joy that I am here to celebrate the opening of the first International Gay Athletic Olympics.
Tonight, we are marching as are others across America, and we shouldn't have to be.
This is not a gay disease. It is not a gay disease.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Indonesia's president tries tossing a life preserver to waterboarded queers, a Romanian marriage case divides top officials, and October's LGBT History Month flashes back to the early 80s. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending October 22nd, 2016. The president of Indonesia has finally spoken out in defense of LGBT human rights following months of intensified verbal and physical attacks on sexual and gender minorities in the world's fourth most populous country. President Joko Widodo, known in the country as Jokowi, made his first public comments about the deteriorating situation for LGBT people this week. He said during an interview with the BBC that the police must act to protect them. There should be no discrimination against anyone. Just last month, a presidential spokesperson in the world's most populous Muslim country said that there is no room in Indonesia for the proliferation of the LGBT movement. And in his comments about protecting queer citizens this week, Jokowi himself also stressed that regarding same-gender sex, Islam does not allow it. Nevertheless, a press release from Human Rights Watch said that Jokowi's long-overdue statement in support of LGBT non-discrimination is a breath of fresh air as Indonesian officials and politicians continue their abusive and ill-informed homophobic onslaught. Jokowi needs the political courage, the release added, to demonstrate that such beliefs can't and won't trump his obligation to defend the rights of all Indonesians.
Other officials in Jokowi's administration, including his education and defense ministers, have condemned the existence of sexual and gender minorities in the country. Government watchdog agencies have clamped down on LGBT-supportive social media. And just this week, Indonesian lawmakers passed a new bill that authorizes chemical castration in an effort to wipe out sex crimes. Activists have expressed fears that the new law may be used against LGBT people. Considering the rising tide against sexual and gender minorities in the country, observers aren't sure what impact, if any, Jokowi's comments will have.
Romania's president and prime minister are at odds over LGBT rights. Commenting on a case now before the nation's highest court involving the recognition of the civil marriage of a gay Romanian man and a U.S. citizen, President Klaus Iohannis, an ethnic German and a Lutheran, noted this week that he belongs to two minorities. Tolerance and acceptance of others are vital, he said. These are the values I believe in. That Romanian-American gay couple legally married in Belgium in 2010 and now lives in the United States. They launched a legal fight to get their marriage sanctioned in Romania in 2012 after the country's immigration authorities refused to recognize their union when they wanted to work there. The Constitutional Court has twice delayed making a decision in their case. The justices are now expected to rule in the coming week. The politically influential Romanian Orthodox Church strongly opposes the petition. And Prime Minister Dacian Cioloș voiced his support for the traditional family the day after the president's comments. More than 3 million people have also signed a petition circulated by a group of conservative religious groups under the banner of the Coalition for Family, demanding that civil marriage for same-gender couples be constitutionally banned. They want a legal union to be defined as only being possible between a man and a woman. Romanian law now defines civil marriage simply as between spouses.
Thousands of people marched in Paris on October 16th to demand the repeal of civil marriage equality in France, 6 months ahead of the next presidential election. Police estimated the crowd at about 24,000. The organizers, a group opposed to marriage equality called Manif Pour Tous, claimed 10 times that amount. Marchers were also demanding bans on assisted fertility services for lesbian couples and surrogate mothers helping same-gender couples have babies, even though French law currently allows assisted reproduction services only to infertile heterosexual couples and bans surrogacy altogether. Organizers claim that people from all over the country took part in the march. They said they hoped the demonstration would influence presidential politics. But according to the Associated Press, none of the major candidates attended the march. France opened civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples in 2013, but conservative religious groups, led by Manif Pour Tous, have maintained their indignation and opposition ever since.
Tens of thousands of people, organized primarily by groups affiliated with the Roman Catholic Church, marched against civil marriage equality last month in Mexico City. They want to stem the march of equality spurred by the nation's Supreme Court, which has ruled against several state bans on civil marriage for same-gender couples in recent years. Lesbian and gay couples can currently get married in Mexico City and 10 of the country's 31 states. However, under the nation's complicated legal system, unless bans are repealed by their state governments, individual couples must spend money and time in the court system on a case-by-case basis to get a civil marriage license. Marchers were also protesting the proposal by Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto that civil marriage be opened nationwide to same-gender couples legislatively. But there doesn't seem to be much interest at the moment among Mexico's lawmakers to do that.
In other news, three men caused a stir in Amsterdam this week by distributing flyers calling for all religious people to unite and exterminate gays and lesbians. The leaflets remind conservative Muslims, Christians, and Jews that homosexuality is forbidden in their respective religions. The leaflets include bogus statistics that 29% of children of lesbians and gay men are sexually abused. The moral responsibility for the children, they warn, is all of ours for the coming generations. The leaflets also claim that LGBT people are more likely to suffer from mental illness and have higher suicide rates. At least 75 people have filed complaints with the police over the inflammatory handouts. One of four suspects was identified from closed-circuit video, although it was later determined that he was only with the men at the time they were distributing the flyers, but was not involved. The three other men turned themselves in on October 20th, but claimed during interrogation that they only wanted to spark a discussion. The men's identities have not been released. Authorities will only say that the trio consisted of two 29-year-olds from The Hague and a 39-year-old from Rotterdam, who said that they targeted Amsterdam because it's considered to be the country's LGBT capital. The public prosecutor's office is trying to determine whether what they did constitutes a criminal offense.
Australia's House of Representatives approved a bill this week to hold a national referendum, or plebiscite, on opening civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. The vote was 76 to 67. But all indications point to the bill's defeat in the Senate, where government MPs are in the minority. The leading opposition Labour Party, the Greens, and a few independent MPs have united to oppose what they call a costly and divisive national vote when all public opinion polls already show overwhelming support for marriage equality. They also object to the non-binding nature of the plebiscite as proposed by Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, under which MPs would not be required to ratify the result in a marriage equality bill to follow. The plebiscite bill now moves to the Senate. 40 senators have pledged to vote against it, two more than the 38 needed to block legislation in that chamber.
And finally, Indigenous people around the world are celebrating a breakthrough in Australia. With his recent election, Chauncey Pesh became the nation's first openly gay Aboriginal MP. He celebrated his diverse identity this week during the opening of the 13th Legislative Assembly of the Northern Territory. He also made it clear which political party made his election possible.
I am a Centralian man. I am the nation's first openly gay Indigenous parliamentarian. I am eternally proud of who I am and where I come from. I own it and wear it with pride. Madam Speaker, I am young, I am gay, I am black, a true blue Territorian. I am a proud face of the diversity and future of the great Australian Labor Party.
The 28-year-old MP was elected in August by 60% of his mostly rural constituency, despite a smear campaign about his sexuality by some of his opponents. He also called in his maiden speech for improved roadways to some of Australia's most isolated areas and made an impassioned plea for civil marriage equality.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 22, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
These are gay and lesbian people singing out here. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's terrible. Had a rock and throw it at them.
The Religious Right rocks on and other 80s hits later in the program. But first, how could it be LGBT History Month without at least one Rainbow Minute?
Dreaming of a Gay Olympics, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. The concept of a gay Olympics is credited to a competitor in the 1968 Olympics named Dr. Tom Waddell. But in 1982, just weeks before the first gay Olympics was to take place in San Francisco, the United States Olympic Committee obtained a restraining order forbidding the use of the word Olympics. Although the committee had not objected to the use of the word in events like the Nebraska Rat Olympics, the Crab Cooking Olympics, or even the Nude Olympics, Waddell lost his fight at the U.S. Supreme Court. In 1987, while losing his fight with AIDS, the court even ruled that the U.S. Olympic Committee could have their legal fees of $92,000 levied against his home. By 1994, the committee had a new posture, giving the openly gay Olympic champ Greg Louganis its highest award. In his acceptance speech, Louganis dedicated the award to Tom Waddell. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out.
This year's U.S. presidential campaign has brought the rebirth of the phrase moral majority. The Rio Summer Olympics featured nearly 50 openly LGBT athletes. And when another World AIDS Day comes around in a few weeks, 35 million people will have died in the pandemic, and 34 million more are living with HIV. These present-day stories have their roots in the early 1980s, a period worth looking at during October's LGBT History Month. So we reached back into the This Way Out audio archives for news coverage from mid-1981 to mid-1983, when AIDS was new, the first gay games were played, and the religious right was an as yet unproven political force.
We come from the moral majority. Heed our warning when we say
it's going to be a groundswell of good people coming forward, and you might say enforcing their values on those who don't agree with them.
We are here to cleanse impurity, rid the world of vice and sin.
We're talking about well over 350, 60, 70, 80, 90 members of Congress who, if your rights and their re-election are placed on the table, don't bet on your rights.
Just like Adolf Hitler's Germany, purebred and Christian, watch out. We may win.
Although the fundamentalist movement has existed in American politics since the days of the Puritans, they call themselves the New Right. Their leaders, like the Moral Majority's Jerry Falwell, are also the spiritual leaders of conservative Middle America, and they speak on matters of religion and politics with the same righteous fervor. In 1981, Falwell began a series of letters to Moral Majority members announcing a war against gays and lesbians. "Let's stop the homosexuals once and for all," he told the faithful. In September, after the Washington, D.C. City Council had thrown out the city's archaic anti-sodomy law, Falwell went to Congress, which has final legislative authority over the nation's capital, to have the D.C. law reinstated. the U.S. House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly to restore the anti-sodomy ordinance. The gay rights national lobby's Susan Green identified Falwell's primary political tool.
Fear does strange things to people, and we didn't have anything to threaten them with. The moral majority did. They were actually threatening people in Congress and saying, if you don't vote our way, we'll see that you don't get elected next time. And a lot of these people don't have spines. A lot of them just said, oh my God, you know, I want to stay in Congress, therefore I'm going to do what these people say.
During the months after his victory, Falwell took his I Love America roadshow around the country. But in every city he visited, hundreds of gays and lesbians turned out in protest.
What are your feelings tonight?
I'm feeling wonderful. I'm feeling this is just beautiful and that people are coming together strong and loving and caring and that we're celebrating our lifestyles and that we're celebrating that we are good people.
I'm mostly shocked by the violent looks and remarks of the Falwell community walking by us. I mean, that was surprising to me. I thought that they would just accept us and walk by, you know, but they gave us remarks like faggots and get lost, and that was real ugly to me, and it verified many things, what can I say?
Hi, what do you think of the demonstration here tonight?
I think it stinks.
What do you think about Jerry Falwell mixing politics and religion so much?
He isn't mixing them. He's just telling us what the Word of God is telling us.
Isn't he telling some people how to vote, though?
Not that I'm aware of. Everybody has a choice.
So a woman should have a choice whether she wants an abortion or not?
No, I don't think she has the right to murder.
These are gay and lesbian people singing out here. What's your reaction to that?
I have a little boy, and oh, that's disgusting.
What?
You know, that is disgusting because that, oh... I have a little boy, and I would hate for my little boy to be like that. Those are animals.
I think it's terrible to have a rock and throw it at them.
Really? Well, that's not a very Christian attitude.
That's what they need.
August 1982.
It is with great joy that I am here to celebrate the opening of the first International Gay Athletic Olympics.
The games have been absolutely spectacular. I don't have to tell you, yesterday I cried, and I never cry. I'm one of these tough cowboys that never cry.
All the people who have been afraid to acknowledge that lesbians and gay people have been an active part of athletics throughout time, you can shout it now.
Woo!
Athletics are here.
Woo!
How long ago did you hear about the games?
About 6 months ago.
And how did you hear about them?
It was in the press, actually, in the straight press.
In the straight press? What did they have to say about it?
Oh, they just said that there were gay games in San Francisco.
Athletes came from 12 countries, 28 states, and 149 cities to participate in the Gay Athletic Games. Those nations represented were Australia, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, England, France, Holland, Ireland, New Zealand, Peru, West Germany, and the United States.
Most of us paid our own way to come here. We got assistance with track suits, a bit of sporting equipment, things like that.
The international press was also in evidence. Rolf Kunkel, a feature writer for Germany's Der Spiegel, remarked, "It really attracted our attention when the USOC asked them to drop the Olympics from the name." Just days prior to the opening of the Games, the committee was informed of a court-ordered injunction preventing that organization from using the word Olympics in their name. Los Angeles ACLU Gay Rights Chapter Attorney Susan McGreevy lend some insight to the court proceedings.
I'm not really concerned so much about the copyright issue as I am about the overwhelmingly poor showing of sportsmanship.
An estimated 10,000 spectators cheered the Kezar Stadium opening ceremonies, which featured marching bands, baton twirlers, square dancing, color guards, politicians, dignitaries, and the traditional parade of athletes bearing the flags of their countries. Authors Rita Mae Brown and Armistead Maupin emceed, and entertainment was provided by Meg Christian and Tina Turner. The finale of the opening ceremonies was the lighting of the Olympic torch and the release of thousands of gaily colored balloons. The torch lighting was the culmination of the work of more than 2,000 volunteer runners, walkers, and cyclists who relayed the torch across the country from the location of the Stonewall Bar in New York City some 10 weeks earlier.
It's fabulous. It looks very competitive. It's very festive is the word for it. There's a lot of athletes out here competing to enjoy themselves, which they really never had a chance to.
When I was out at the marathon, a man who ran over 26 miles came in second place, and after resting for about 10 or 15 minutes with the silver blanket that they put around the marathon runners, he turned around to the crowd and wrapped it around him. He says, "You like my dress?" And it's being able to say that after you run 26 miles.
The week had been proclaimed Gay Games Week by San Francisco Mayor Dianne Feinstein, and closing ceremonies were held on September the 5th. A tea dance took place on Kezar Stadium Field. 800 choir members sang, and Stephanie Mills performed. Of course, there was a parade of champions. Organizers said they plan to hold another Games in 1986.
This is our first Olympics in 1,500 years, and that's a long, long time, and I hope it's no 1,500 years before the next one.
May 1983.
Three Los Angeles City Council members joined a crowd of nearly 5,000 at the Federal Building in Westwood to demand more government funding for research into the AIDS epidemic.
We are gathered together tonight for one purpose, to fight back against AIDS. The acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
This is not a gay disease. It is not a gay disease.
I know that there are some horror stories about people with AIDS who have been disenfranchised of their basic rights. Their roommates have kicked them out. They've been served on paper plates. Their families have disowned them.
Support the community. Help us deal with the panic, because people are panicking.
If we withdraw from one another and excoriate one another because of our guilt and our fear, we'll only add joy to the heart of every right-wing, Bible-thumping homophobe in America.
Tonight, we are marching as our others across America, and we shouldn't have to be.
When I asked my doctor what my mortality would be, he didn't have an answer.
Tonight, we are pleading for our lives and the future lives of Americans, and we should not have to be.
It's very frightening to think. More often than not, I've read that the average lifespan is 2 years after diagnosis, and I'd hate to think I'll lose my brother at 24.
You don't have to be Jewish to care about someone dying from Tay-Sachs disease. And you don't have to be black to care about someone dying from sickle cell anemia. And you don't have to be gay to care about someone dying from AIDS. All it takes is a little human decency.
I was diagnosed with AIDS last December. The worst part of having this disease, and I think this is true for most other AIDS patients, is not the physical hassles. They're bad. But the worst part is the sense of isolation and the incredible loneliness and the times of indescribable hopelessness in combating this disease. But as I look out tonight and in talking to people before, all I felt was a sense of faith and hope and a lot of love coming from all you people. And right now, I don't feel any sense of isolation. or loneliness, and I don't feel any sense of hopelessness. And it's this kind of concern, the kind that's brought you people here tonight, that makes me able to stand here and say, I know I'm going to win over this disease.
Meanwhile, in the rest of the world, between 1981 and 83, thousands demonstrated against bathhouse raids in Toronto, Paris saw its first Pride March, and the European Court of Human Rights issued its first ruling against the criminalization of homosexuality. U.S. President Ronald Reagan finally mentioned AIDS in public in 1985. Living in wartime, singer-songwriter and AIDS activist Michael Callan succumbed to the disease in 1983. And in the 2016 presidential race, Jerry Falwell Jr. has endorsed Donald Trump. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau, Sarah Sweeney, and Dustin Richardson, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. The reporters in the early 80s history feature included David Hunt, Timothy Sturton, Debbie Fidler, Joan Klein, and Josie Cotoggio. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, who all make this program possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We all thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on BCFM Bristol, England, Radio Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona, WHUS Storrs, Connecticut, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.